Welcome to our annual results presentation for year ended 30th of September. As many of you know, I'm Kate Swan, CEO of SSP, and joining me today, we've got Jonathan Davies, our Group CFO, and down here at the front, we've got Vagn Sørensen, our Chairman, and Sarah John, Investor Relations Director, lurking at the back. I'll start with the group highlights for the year, then Jonathan will take you through the financials, and we'll finish with a review of the business and questions and answers. So I start off with the highlights then. So you all have seen by now, it was a good full year performance for the group. Operating profit up 18.2% at constant currency, 24.6% at actual exchange rates. Like-for-likes were up 3%, the second half being a little softer than the first half, reflecting in part the terrorism impact in the year in Egypt and France and the tougher comparatives. Net new space for the year was up 1.7%. That was ahead of our expectations at the start of the year. We saw a particularly strong result on operating margin, up 70 basis points on the year. Our strategic initiatives there are delivering both growth and efficiency, and you can see our clear focus on valuation coming through in the numbers. EPS for the year was strong, 15.5p, up 26%. We've announced a full year dividend of 5.4p, underlining our confidence in the prospects for the business. While it's been a busy year for us in terms of new openings, it's also been a good year in terms of contract wins, so our medium-term pipeline looks encouraging. So from a group point of view, we are pleased with our performance. We're confident to continue to invest in the business and the many opportunities that we see going forward, and our recent investment in India reflects that. So if I now hand you over to Jonathan, he'll take you through the numbers.
Thank you, Kate, and good morning. I'm pleased to be able to present a good set of full year results this morning. You can see overall sales increased by 5% on a constant currency basis, with like-for-like sales growth of 3%, a little ahead of our expectations, and net gains of 1.7%. The impact of the leap year added a further 0.3 to our sales. Overall, reported sales were up 8.6%, benefiting from the weakening of sterling against most of our foreign currencies during the year, which added some 3.6% to reported sales. Now, if the current FX rates were to continue through 2017, we'd expect a further positive currency impact on sales of around 6% in the year. It's important to remember that these are solely translational effects. Operating profit was up 18% on a constant currency basis to 121.4 million, and up 25% at actual FX rates. This was slightly ahead of our expectations, driven by the stronger like-for-like sales growth and lower pre-opening costs. Profit before tax was up 31% year-on-year, and earnings per share up by around 26% year-on-year. The reduction in reported net debt by just 2 million to 317 million masks a good underlying performance. On a constant currency basis, net debt reduced by some 41.5 million, and overall leverage fell to about 1.6x EBITDA from 1.9x at the end of last year. Now, looking at the like-for-like trends in more detail. Like-for-like in the second half was 2.9%, a little below the first half, mainly reflecting the impact of last year's terrorist incidents in Egypt and France, and the slowing of growth in China. Like-for-like growth in the air sector has been strong, driven by further increases in passenger numbers during the year. However, following the terrorist incidents in Paris and Brussels, trading across much of our U.K. and European rail operations has remained a bit softer, particularly in the major capital cities. Looking forward to next year, we're expecting the weaker trading in rail to continue, and we'll face tougher comparatives during the first half. Now, bearing in mind the backdrop of general economic uncertainty, we currently expect slightly lower like-for-like sales growth next year, nearer to 2%. Turning now to our regional performance. Like-for-like sales growth in the UK was 3.1%, driven by a continued strong performance in the air sector, but held back by the slightly weaker performance in rail. In continental Europe, like-for-like sales were 2.8%, and here the picture was somewhat mixed. We saw good growth in the air sector, particularly in the Nordic countries, and especially in Spain, which benefited from the transfer of tourism from the Eastern Mediterranean and the Middle East. However, the rail business saw softer trading, especially in France and Belgium, which were impacted by the terrorist incidents, as well as some strike action earlier in the year. Sales in North America were strong. Like-for-like sales were up 7.5%. This has been underpinned by strong growth in passenger numbers, as well as the ongoing rollout of our retailing initiatives. In the rest of the world, like-for-like sales were down 2%, largely reflecting the sharp drop in sales in Egypt, which were down over 50% in the aftermath of the bombing at Sharm el-Sheikh last year. In addition to this, we saw a slowing down of growth in China, which affected a number of countries across the Asia-Pacific region. Overall net gains were up 1.7%, with very strong contributions from both North America and the rest of the world, which were up 13 and 14% respectively. Net gains in the second half were slightly weaker at 1.4%, and this was mainly as a result of the transfer of a lot of our business in Charles de Gaulle Airport into a joint venture with our client, Aéroport de Paris, which we don't consolidate. Now, looking at the current pipeline, we expect full-year net contract gains to be around about 2%, with the bulk of the growth arising in the second half. This excludes the impact of the TFS acquisition in India, which I will talk about later. Turning to profit, the UK, you can see, performed very well, with operating profit up 26% and operating margin up 170 basis points. This was driven by further good progress on our strategic initiatives, in particular gross margin optimisation, where the UK has led the pack in the rollout of our category management and procurement initiatives. Profit growth in continental Europe was more modest at 4% on a constant currency basis. A significant factor here was the effect of the terrorist incidents in Paris and in Brussels, which caused a sharp drop in sales in both countries. We saw further good progress in North America, where operating profit more than tripled in the year to £12.5 million. This was driven by strong sales growth and good progress on our strategic initiatives, which delivered an operating margin improvement of over 300 basis points. We also benefited from somewhat lower pre-opening costs in the year, as many of the outlets that we opened were in airports where we were already present, such as Houston, Toronto, JFK, and therefore came with fewer startup costs. Operating profit in the rest of the world was down by 44% on a constant currency basis. This was mainly due to the sharp fall in sales in Egypt that I've mentioned following the terrorist incidents. And it was also due to a major programme of new openings. Last year, we opened a lot of new business, adding over 14% to sales in the year. Much of this has been at brand new airports such as Dubai, Beijing, Don Wang in Bangkok, and this always results in higher levels of pre-opening costs. So looking at the overall group P&L, you can see operating margin improved by some 70 basis points year on year on a constant currency basis to 6.1%. This reflects good profit conversion on the like-for-like sales growth and further operating efficiencies. The margin improvement in the second half was slightly ahead of our expectations by some 20 basis points, reflecting the stronger like-for-like sales in the second half, as well as the deferral of some pre-opening costs, as a number of units planned for the second half will ultimately open in the first part, half of our new financial year. Looking down the P&L and focusing on the constant currency movements, gross margin was up 70 basis points, or about 50 basis points on an adjusted basis, when we reflect the stronger like-for-like sales growth in the air sector, which typically has higher gross margins and also higher concession fees compared to the rail sector. This performance reflects the good progress we've made with our category management, procurement and waste and loss prevention initiatives during the year. And looking forward, we'd expect more modest growth in gross margin as the air and rail sales growth reverts to more normal levels, and we expect to see some impact of higher cost of goods inflation during the year. You can see we've also made good progress on labour ratios, which improved by some 30 basis points year on year, or 40 basis points excluding the impact of additional PLC costs, that is, share-based schemes. We continue to make good progress with our broadly based programme of service and labour efficiency initiatives. As we look forward, we expect to make further but more modest progress on labour ratios, largely due to wage pressures that we see in the UK, coming particularly from the National Living Wage, and in the US, as we see increases in minimum wage levels in a number of states. Concession fees rose by some 50 basis points, or 40 basis points, adjusting for the stronger air sales, as I've mentioned. This is consistent with recent trends, and we'd expect this to continue. Looking a bit further down the P&L, net profit was up 26% to £74 million. Net financing costs were slightly lower, benefiting from the lower net debt and the full year of the lower interest rates from the amend and extend of our debt facilities in July 15. The tax charge represented an effective tax rate of 22.5%, very much as anticipated, which was slightly higher than 2015 when we benefited from recognising some deferred tax assets. The minority charge has increased, as expected, by some £3 million, principally reflecting the strong growth of our joint ventures in the United States. Worth noting that over £1 million of that increase, however, is solely due to FX impacts. We expect this underlying growth to continue into 2017, and in addition, we're anticipating a further £3 million minority charge to come from the TFS acquisition, which I'll come back to. Overall, this left earnings per share at 15.5p, up 26%, and we're proposing a full-year dividend of 5.4p a share, also up 26%. Turning to the cash flow, over the year we generated £65 million of free cash flow. Operating cash flow was £78 million, some £7 million better than last year, and that was having invested an additional £15 million in capital projects. We generated £4 million of cash from improved negative working capital, which was broadly in line with sales growth. The increased capex of £96 million largely reflects the increase in new openings during the year, particularly in North America and the rest of the world, and is consistent with the double-digit net gains in both of those territories. Looking forward, the contract pipeline for 2017 should deliver a slightly higher level of net gains of around 2%. As a result of this, we'd expect capex to rise slightly to around about £100 million on a constant currency basis. In addition to this, we'd expect a further £4 or £5 million of capex to come from including TFS in our results. Now, if the current foreign exchange rates were to continue through 2017, we would expect the reported capital to be around another £7 million higher for the full year when translated into sterling. Looking at net debt, the reduction in reported net debt was just £2 million, but masked a good underlying performance. On a constant currency basis, it reduced by £42 million, and that was after a dividend payment of £22 million. The impact of the weakening of sterling during the year increased reported net debt by some £39 million, and this is, of course, because we operate a natural hedge whereby we hold our debt in currencies which are broadly matched to our earnings. Finally, I'd like to touch on our acquisition of TFS. As you'll be aware, in October, we announced that we are creating a joint venture with Travel Food Services in India. Kate will cover this in more detail shortly, but I wanted to talk about some financial aspects of the deal and how we will account for it. So just to remind you, we will acquire a 49% shareholding in TFS in two stages. Initially, we'll take a 33% stake, which we will complete by the end of February for a net consideration of around 39 million. We'll then take a further 16% at the end of 2018 for an estimated 19 million. In the year to March 16, TFS reported sales of 42 million, EBITDA of 8.3 million. Looking forward to 2017, we'd expect EBITDA to grow by some 3 million to about 11.3 million, with a significant step up coming from TFS's buyout of some of its pre-existing joint venture partners, as well as the full year's trading from some of the openings during 2016 and the early part of 17. As you can see in the table, we've set out our broad expectations on the P&L. We're assuming sales of 57 million with a flat EBITDA margin year on year, depreciation of about 5%, and some integration and restructuring costs. Our share of this will be 33% initially, and hence the minority interest is 67% of the profit after tax, as you can see on the chart. Now, as we will have management control of TFS, we will fully consolidate it, and in practice, accounting standards mean that we will need to gross up all of TFS's remaining joint ventures. This will increase the reported revenue and profit, as you can see in the right-hand column of the chart, but this will also be reversed through a higher minority charge, initially of 73%. Of course, the accounting has no effect on our economic interest or our net income. So, to summarise, a good set of results, robust like-for-like sales growth of around 3% despite some headwinds, net contract gains stronger at 1.7%, our strategic programmes continuing to deliver good operating margin growth, up 70 basis points on a constant currency basis, and overall operating profit up 18% on a constant currency basis. Earnings per share up 26% year on year, and we're proposing a final dividend of 2.9 pence, which would bring the overall dividend up to 5.4 pence, also up 26% year on year. So now I'll pass back to Kate to talk through some of our strategic initiatives and our divisional performance.
Oh, thank you, Jonathan. So at the outset, I thought it's just reminding ourselves of the fundamentals that make SSP an exciting business, and you can see those on the slide. I'm not going to drag you through all of the details, as they will be familiar, and they aren't any different to the ones we outlined at the IPO 2.5 years ago. It is worth remembering, though, that since the IPO, we have seen material terrorist attacks, various political instability, and Brexit. And the business continues to deliver good sales growth, excellent margin expansion, very healthy cash generation, really reinforcing the attractiveness of the market in which we operate, our position in that market, and the opportunities we have to drive our performance. So with that, let me start by updating you on the performance by region. So I'll start with the UK. UK represents 39% of SSP's revenue, and we have a strong presence in both air and rail. I have been saying that we've seen another strong performance this year, with sales up 2.9% and profit up 26%. But on the basis that Simon, Luke and Mikhail from the UK are in the room, I might adjust strong to perfectly adequate. Whilst there has been no direct terrorist activity in the UK, we did see a slowdown in London in the year after the Paris attack, and it was encouraging to see that we responded in a timely and flexible manner. Our strategic initiatives, you can see, are delivering well, and we use the UK as a test bed for the group in terms of those initiatives. This year, a huge amount of our energy has gone into our better service planning pilot, which we'll hear more about in a couple of minutes. In addition to our strategic initiatives, our focus in the UK is also on achieving a good renewal rate. We had another good year renewing our business in London City, Manchester Terminal 1, Bristol Airport and Glasgow Airport, partly by continuing to add to our brand portfolio. So in the UK, we've demonstrated we've got many opportunities to drive improved performance, and we'll continue to work on those going forward. Unlike the UK, continental Europe for us is made up of many countries, including the Nordics, France, Germany, Spain, to name but a few. The region also accounts for 39% of our revenue, and again, we have a strong presence in both air and rail. We saw a solid performance in the year with like-for-like sales up 1.4% and operating profit up 3.9%. Within the performance, there was a wide variation by country. France obviously was impacted by the terrorist attacks in Paris and then in the summer in Nice. Germany too was fairly challenging, whereas the Nordics were generally robust and Spain was extremely strong. Our focus in continental Europe is on operating efficiently and flexibly. A high renewal rate is also really important, and we were pleased to renew all of our business in Oslo at the start of the year. And we'll see considerable focus on Oslo over the next 9 months as we rebuild, relocate, and change virtually all of our business there. Whilst our expectations in general for new business in continental Europe are modest, we will selectively target new contracts, and we were delighted with wins in Germany last year in both Frankfurt and Düsseldorf airports. We opened a lot of new units in the year in Charles de Gaulle and Luxembourg particularly, so we continue to focus on doing that efficiently to minimise the impact of pre-opening costs, which always impact, as Jonathan said, the first year financials in any new contract. Moving on then to North America. It's been another strong year here. North America is a small but growing part of our business. It now represents 13% of our revenue, up from 10% a year ago. Total sales were up 21%, with like-for-likes up around 7.5%. Operating profit growth was strongly up, albeit on a small base, $12.5 million. Again, it's worth remembering that profit growth will jump around a bit depending on the number of and type of openings that we have in any one year. Our US business is solely focused on the air channel, and our share is small. That share is growing, and it will continue to grow given the new business pipeline looking forward. Our focus in North America is on winning profitable new business and then mobilising those new contracts quickly and efficiently. We've invested in the US team to allow us to do that in areas like business development and design and construction. And as our US business grows, we're also focused on generating the benefits from that growing scale, investing in our supply chain and our purchasing departments to do that. I'll come on to some more examples later on. And finally, to the rest of the world, which for us covers Asia-Pacific, Middle East, and Eastern Europe. Whilst it's a big region geographically, it's still a small part of SSP, but with plenty of opportunity to grow from the around 9% of revenue it currently represents. Our focus is on the air sector, although we are looking at developing in other channels. During this year, we opened our first rail business in Hong Kong, with 7 units opening in Hang Hom Station. Total sales for the year were up 12.3%, impacted quite heavily by Egypt, as Jonathan said, where sales were down over 50%. And China also slowed, but Eastern Europe continued to trade strongly. Profit was in line with our expectations and was impacted not only by Egypt, but by pre-opening costs in sites like Dubai and Beijing, for example. Again, it's worth remembering that the profit will jump around, dependent on the number and type of openings in any one year, particularly in this region, where the numbers are small and the pre-opening costs of a few large new locations, as we've seen this year, can make a material difference. The key focus for this division is on winning profitable new business in our existing countries and selective geographic expansion into new countries where we see good opportunities. In addition to our focus on that new business development, we continue to develop our infrastructure and to strengthen our team to support those growth ambitions going forward. Moving on then to the group as a whole. As I said at the start of the presentation, we continue to focus on the 5 key levers that we outlined at the IPO to drive value for our shareholders. So if I start with the first of these, I'll work through them in turn. Group like-for-like sales were up 3%. In the round, we're pleased with the full year sales, and whilst passenger numbers in some countries were impacted by events outside of our control, we are a broadly based business with good geographic diversification, and that gives us some protection against that. The medium-term trends, however, in the travel market are still positive. We have a number of strategic initiatives to drive our like-for-like sales, and you can see those on the right of the slide. I'll talk you through a couple of interesting examples that we implemented during the year. The first example is about improving our food range in Café Ratazza and adding in a new premium range. Customer research clearly indicated that customers want constant innovation and they're prepared to pay a premium for food that delivers something new and innovative. What was also clear was that new and innovative versions of our current bestsellers were far more appealing than searching for some undiscovered and esoteric ingredients. So, for example, prosciutto, brie and pear chutney baguette on sourdough as a premium version of our standard ham and cheese, a Nutella-filled croissant as a premium and very delicious version of our standard croissant. We branded the new range, as you can see, Fine Foods, to clearly position it. We trialled a range of 28 lines across breakfast, cakes and muffins, salads, paninis, baguettes. The trial resulted in double-digit sales growth across the food category. And after our usual careful analysis and some product re-engineering, we're now going to roll out the range to all Ratazza units, with even our small units getting 9 of the new premium lines. Second example is developing our Millie's brand. Millie's is our cookie and cupcake brand, for those of you that don't know, and it's particularly a strong brand amongst kids. It has a large gifting audience during the big seasons of Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, and Christmas. In order to appeal to those customers, we successfully launched a Millie's online offer some 2 years ago, enabling you to have your cookie delivered or ordered online and collected in store. And we further added to our Millie's offer this year by introducing Millie's Bake at Home. So you can now buy our 3 best-selling cookie varieties frozen for your convenience to bake at home. These products are now available in most Iceland stores, so further extending the reach for the brand. So moving on then to new space. We saw a strong performance this year with net gains of 1.7% compared to 0.6% last year. Net gains, remember, is a measure of the sales we make in new units, net of the sales in any lost or closed business. And as such, is driven by the opening and closing dates of that business, and they can be very volatile, particularly in the rest of the world division. As you know, a large proportion of our new business is centred on the US and Asia Pacific, and we've had another successful year of opening new units. We've also had a good year winning new business, so the pipeline going forward looks pretty decent. Outside of completely new business, it's also important we keep our renewal rate high, and this year's renewal rate is a little ahead of our historic average. It's also worth remembering, though, that those big renewals often result in very large new unit openings, as entire airports are redeveloped and redesigned, for example, Oslo. Taking a look at some of those new units that we opened then. And these are in Hong Kong International Airport, and it's a good example of winning new units in an existing site. SSP has been in Hong Kong International since 1998, and the airport is the 8th largest in the world. Hong Kong has 3 main halls, airside as well as landside business, and we now operate 28 units across the airport, including our 6 new units airside in the West Hall. Our new units offer a strongly Asian-based cuisine. The first picture you can see is a street food offer created by us with celebrity chef Alvin Leung. And you can see on the right-hand side at the top there, that's some of the little savoury and sweet buns that we offer in the new street food unit. Second picture down is Yung Kee. Yung Kee is one of Hong Kong's most historic restaurants. It's famed for its traditional Cantonese cuisine. So famous is it that bottom right there, you can buy a fully glazed goose to take away as a gift for your loved one. The bottom picture in the middle there, that is Tai Hing, and that's a quick service restaurant. Lots of Tai Hings in mainland China and Singapore. So you can see a real breadth of offering in the new West Hall in Hong Kong. At this point, I thought it would be worth a few words on India. Whilst it wasn't completed last year, it's a good example of expanding into a completely new country. As we said at the IPO, we will look to expand into new countries where we believe they have good economics for us and there's potential to grow. And India is one such market. The second most populous country in the world, it's seen substantial PAX growth over recent years, way into double digits, and that's forecast to continue. Infrastructure growth will support that. The government is planning on spending $120 billion in airport infrastructure over the next decade. As you heard Jonathan say, SSP has entered into a joint venture with K Hospitality Group, whose TFS business is well established in India with 170 units. TFS operates in six of the main airports, including Delhi and Mumbai, and also two rail stations. Like SSP, TFS runs both their own brands, like Curry Kitchen and Cafecino, you can see on the slide, as well as leading third-party brands like KFC and Krispy Kreme. The management team at TFS have done a great job establishing a really solid platform for growth, and we believe that that combination of SSP's international experience and TFS local knowledge will be a really powerful one. As Jonathan said, SSP will have management and operational control of the business from completion. We also made good progress in the year on new contract wins. On the slide, you'll see some of the bigger or more interesting ones. As we discussed earlier, they're generally focused in North America and Asia Pacific, but last year had a good year in Norway, in Germany, and in the Middle East. Since the second half, when we last updated you, we've won a further 9 units in Phuket Airport in Thailand, 4 in Sanya, that's a new airport for us in China, a further 6 units at Torp in Norway, and 3 in Minneapolis, amongst others. So we've got lots of new units to open over the next few years on the back of those wins. Moving on then to look at some of the new brands that we'll be working with on that new business. Brands are important to us to win new business, to secure our renewals, and to drive like-for-like sales. And we've added strong names to our portfolio right across the globe this year. We opened our first Hard Rock Cafe in Tampa in the year, as well as our first Leon at London Liverpool Street, up on the mezzanine if you travel through it. In the US, we've opened Osteria in Los Angeles and in Asia Pacific S&P Thai Restaurant. Both of those are really strong local heroes, another part of our portfolio of brands. We're also very pleased to have agreed our first Itsu, which will be open in London Mainline during the rest of sometime during this financial year. We continue to work with high-profile celebrity chefs right across the globe, and we've secured a deal with Paul Hollywood in the UK to open a new bakery-based concept, also going to open in London Mainline sometime during 2017. So now, in total, we operate over 400 brands right around the globe. If I move on to our third lever, and that's gross margin. During the year, gross margin, as you've heard, improved a further 70 basis points. And we're making really good progress on our key initiatives across all of our regions. We're starting to see some very good returns from the extra investment we made in procurement resources and in our commercial teams, who are working very hard on recipe rationalisation. We've also seen a really good year in terms of progress on waste and loss management, with all our countries hitting their stretch targets this year. I'll just talk you through one example in the waste and loss area involving draft beer. I thought you might relate to that well. Draft beers are important to SSP in the UK, in the US, in France, in Germany and Spain. And we sell draft beer there from kegs. They're also important in Nordic countries, and we sell draft beer primarily from tanks in the Nordic countries. We began a trial using technology to drive our yield in 3 of the US airports in the year, JFK, San Diego, and Indianapolis. We installed an established system that uses RFID tags and weight sensors to measure kegs and individual pours. And then it ties that back to the tills where the beer is sold. So you have a measure of pints sold versus pints poured. And then the unit managers can use that information to improve our yield. So that might include things like working on temperatures, on pressures, on glassware, on individual pouring habits and in some cases on individual training. The system is low maintenance, easy to install, low cost, and over the next 6 months we're going to install it into a further 24 US airports and trial it in the UK. And we're also now trialling a similar system for tank-based beer in Stockholm Central Station. Moving on then to our fourth lever, running an efficient and effective business. And again, we made good progress here with overheads improving 10 basis points and labour 30 basis points. As you know, we believe there is a sizeable opportunity to align our labour to sales much better, and we're investing considerable resources and effort in the area. We call this project Better Service Planning. We also continue to look at areas where technology can help us become more efficient, either front of house or back of house. As you can see from the full year numbers, we've made consistent progress across a number of years now, and we believe there's plenty more to go for, which will be helpful to mitigate some of the cost headwinds that Jonathan mentioned in terms of labour costs. If I take you through the progress that we've made on our big Better Service Planning programme. As you know, this programme focuses on improving our sales forecasting by day, by unit, and then scheduling our labour to match those forecasts. The theory being that in a very peaky business like ours, we should aim to match our labour peaks to our sales peaks. We made good progress in the first half of the year, improving our forecasting from an average 22% inaccurate to under 10% inaccurate. And we piloted that new forecasting tool and a new scheduling tool across 50 units in the UK. This was a complete change for the teams in those units. So using data to forecast and schedule rather than relying on schedules that had just built up over time. The tool and system and report suite took quite a lot of refining between our proof of concept and our pilot, and we learnt a lot. And without going into all of the ins and outs and detail, we finished the pilot in encouraging shape, with labour and sales much better aligned, driving both better service scores and labour efficiency. We're right in the middle of the rollout right now, the plan being to complete over 350 units in the UK by spring and then move on to the preparation work for the next pilot, which will be one of the Nordic countries, most likely Sweden. So if I move on to our final lever, optimising our investment to drive returns. Now, in the past, I've talked about various initiatives here around CapEx. So this time, I'm going to focus on an initiative in the shared resources area, our aim being a cheaper and more efficient service provision. From some very early work we did, it was clear that our back-of-house finance, so things like accounts payable, accounts receivable, and other very basic transactional processing, was done in our countries subscale and very differently across regions. Our analysis demonstrated there was an opportunity for lower cost and improved effectiveness using a global shared service facility. We considered running that facility ourselves or outsourcing to a specialist. Outsourcing was the highest benefit, lowest risk option, and we therefore completed a tender process and selected a partner. We now have two shared service centres, one in India and the other in Poland. The UK, our usual test bed, began a successful dual run during January, and to date we've now completed the UK, Germany and the US. Sweden and Norway are in progress with other countries to follow. And clearly, as we grow in confidence, we can look to extend the scope of that project if we see further opportunities to improve our service provision and reduce our costs. So, final slide then, wrapping up. Group delivered a strong financial performance this year, ahead of expectations with profit up 18%. Like-for-like sales were in line with our plan, softer in the second half as expected, and the new financial year has started in line with our expectations. Net new openings were ahead of our plan at the beginning of the year. We made good progress on gross margin and efficiency, driven by the initiatives I've talked about. Our net margin development was strong on the back of good improvements in previous years. Earnings per share, 15.5p, up 26% on the year. As Jonathan said, we've announced a full-year dividend of 5.4p, reflecting the cash-generative nature of the business and our confidence in the prospects going forward. Looking forward, our pipeline is encouraging and we're excited to enter a number of new countries like India for the first time. And as always, our focus remains on delivering long-term sustainable value for our shareholders.